made it to 65, welcome to a new chapter in your life where you'll have the energy and me time to enjoy family, friends, travel, whatever you want. But what about Medicare? It seems like someone tried to develop the most complex, opaque system to cover your medical needs as a senior. Good thing there's T65 and Beyond, your healthcare translator. And good thing this educational resource exists on the radio every week. Welcome to Medicare U. Here are your hosts, Andrea and Joe.
Well, hello, class. Welcome. Another session of Medicare U is on the air. Pause. Oh, I'm sorry. I was reading the teleprompter.
Oh, that's so good, Joe.
How are you guys today?
Perfect. Joe, this is the way out of the studio over here. Don't go stand up against the wall, facing the wall.
Nice sneakers, Joe.
Well, thank you. You know, it's funny you bring that up. I was having the most wonderful conversation with President Kennedy just the other day talking about this. Oh, yeah.
Watch the sandbag.
Ay, ay, ay.
Oh, here we are.
Oh, there's so much fodder.
There is. I couldn't resist that one. Funny what comes to mind or doesn't.
It is. Oh, gosh, Joe, that was perfect. Well, welcome. Welcome, everybody. I hope everybody's number two pencils are sharp today.
Gonna need them.
Yes.
Oh, exam time today?
Oh, yes, it is. We're getting towards that time of year.
My grandsons are so excited. This is their final week. It's exam week.
Is it really?
And they're going to be home by the weekend.
Nice. Very nice.
So, the one in Cortland is like, I got to sit here for 4 days because an exam is on Friday.
Oh,
so yeah. I remember going through that.
Oh, I remember that.
What
yes.
year is he now?
That's his first year.
Oh, he's a freshman.
Yep. Okay. And then Dylan is in his third year at Binghamton.
Wow. So, when is he out?
He's an old pro. He's out on Friday. Actually, Thursday.
But very good.
Yeah, his exam is at 8 o'clock at night.
I never had an 8 o'clock at night.
Yeah, he goes, isn't that weird?
It is weird.
So I said, well, are you going to come home after the exam? He goes, no, it'll be too late because I just pack up on Friday and head home. But it's kind of a weird.
I never had an 8 o'clock
You would never give our class an exam at 8 o'clock at night, would you?
Never.
Maybe 7.
No.
But
I'm the 8 a.m. girl.
There you go. Bright and alert.
Exactly.
So
Who gives an 8:30 at night exam?
I guess at one plus, okay, if you want to cram, you know, you got all day.
I guess.
But I think sometimes it has the opposite effect. You got all day. God knows what you're doing all morning and afternoon. And then,
I
better drive over and do the exam.
Tempted to goof off in various and sundry ways.
Exactly. And then at 3 o'clock, oh, God, yes. We better study. Especially in sunshine like this.
Yes.
Who feels like sitting down to study?
Well, it's our students difficult. Listening I better because this is important stuff.
I know.
So let's tell everybody where we're from, Andrea. We're T65.
Well, yes, we are. We're T65 and beyond. And we are Medicare brokers. We help people choose Medicare plans, and we help people navigate the Medicare world and understand what they need to do to get into Medicare and what their insurance policies are going to look like for healthcare after 65, and also what it's going to look like pre-65 if they need to bridge themselves to in healthcare pre-65 to 65. That's very complicated, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. It is.
Well, I guess you should just give us a call, and then we'll explain it to you face-to-face. So call us at 585-485-0328, 585-485-0328. That's probably your best bet. Sit down, talk with us, and we can navigate you through healthcare, whether it's before 65 or after 65. That's your best bet. Don't you think, Joe?
I think so. So a special shout out to, all of our 1959 babies out there.
Exactly.
This is your year. And
Driving your Batwing 59 Chevy with the wacky fins or the Buick.
Keep it under 70 or you'll become airborne.
Oh, yes.
Those crazy cars.
Well, you're wearing a very crazy shirt today there.
You like it? It's a retro shirt.
I love that shirt.
You
know,
what's the name of the website again?
It's called Hard Daddy.
Hard Daddy, okay.
H-A-R-D-A-D-D-Y. And you know what? They're very comfortable. And
beautiful,
they're all these retro.
Sure.
Folks, it looks like I'm wearing a green bowling shirt from 1957.
It is. It's got that art. There's a name for that. Googie.
Okay.
If you look at the, I love googie architecture and signs, like the Ridgemont Plaza sign.
Yes.
That's a googie sign.
Mm-hmm. So, very cool.
Very cool.
My wife didn't say one word when I walked out the door, so I don't know if she likes it or not. But
well, it's purple and what do you call the green?
I'm bad with
lime.
Yeah, lime green.
Yeah. Lime green and a nice purple.
Because my color choices, I don't know. Was it the store I picked up these lavender shorts? They look blue to me, you know. But hey, they're comfortable. So my wife goes, "Have you lost your mind?" She goes, "Those look like women's." I said, "No, anybody can wear that color." I go, "Hey, you're talking to a manly guy. I've actually worn pink shirts,
yes,
and not been accused of anything."
Me too.
So there you go.
No, nobody's going to accuse you of anything.
But yeah, she really harasses me when I put those on, so I'll never wear them to the studio.
The lavender pants the shorts would look great with that shirt.
It probably would. You know, yes. Maybe that's what I'll do when I get home.
That would be a nice outfit.
Sit on the patio. And...
Exactly. Well, today is Cosmopolitan Day, so you could wear that and drink your Cosmopolitan.
Wonderful. I like that.
Yes.
I like that. Did you drink a mint julep from the Kentucky Derby
day? I did not. Bob, did you?
I did not. I'm not a mint julep fan, but speaking of the Derby, I'm very glad to see that they had Christy Gnome on hand just in case a horse had to be put down.
She was ready. And, you know, do you guys bet the Derby at all?
No.
Okay.
Did you?
Yeah, well, you know, my wife, not really a gambler, but she likes, you know, for horse racing, we should bet. So you know, I'm on this site, and I must have covered every combination.
That's
win,
funny.
Win, play, show, box this. And
I wouldn't know what to do.
No, I you know, it's mostly dumb luck. And something, was it Dan? It was Dan is part of his name, the horse that won. Anyway, I kind of really overlooked him.
By a nostril. What a finish.
Incredible. But something, I put him in to show.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so it was a winning ticket. Every other bet lost. So I won't tell you how much I put out, but I gained $10 in the win.
Oh, look at you.
Oh, yay.
High roller Joe.
So there you go. I'll make it all back on the Preakness.
And then, two thumbs up.
After that, I had to grab my DVD of Secretariat. Ever see that movie?
Yes.
Great, great movie. Yes. You seen it, Bob?
I have not. I've seen Seabiscuit, but not... Secretary.
Great, great story. If I remember, I'll bring the DVD in.
It was like 1933, wasn't it?
Seabiscuit?
No, Secretariat.
1973.
73, okay.
Yep. Yeah,
what am I thinking? Oh, the Triple Crown is 33. What was that?
Was it Man of War?
Yeah, maybe.
I was looking all that up.
Mm.
Galahadiet or something? Yeah. That name, I'm a Stooge fan. So this goes back to 1939 or 40.
What
they
year
were,
was Seabiscuit?
Reading. Seabiscuit actually never ran the Derby.
Is that right?
Which I thought he did. But I think Seabiscuit goes back to the
80s?
No,
for the film?
No, 30s and 40s. Oh, the movie.
No, that's right. Yeah. No, Seabiscuit was 37, I think.
Okay.
That's what I'm thinking of.
And it's funny. I always thought Seabiscuit won the Kentucky Derby or was a Triple Crown winner. But could have been.
What did he win?
I think he won the Preakness, maybe Belmont. He won quite a few. I mean, okay. He was a very, very successful horse. And they had a little blurb, who would win today, Secretariat or Man of War? And they said it'd be pretty close.
Interesting, yeah.
So it's quite a story. I urge you to watch it. You know, I was in the mood from the Kentucky Derby. It was a natural way to spend the evening.
Very nice.
With popcorn.
Yes. So, did you have butter on it?
Of course.
Oh, nice.
Of course.
Nice.
I got this really cool, for want of a better word, it looks like it's made out of rubber, but you pour real popcorn in there.
I've got one.
Isn't that amazing?
Thing works great.
What is that?
It's got the hard plastic top.
Yes. This thing, you put it in the microwave, it will pop your Orville Redenbacher. Like unbelievable.
Right to the top.
Right to the top.
Yeah,
really?
No unpropped kernels. If you get the timing right, sometimes you experiment a little bit.
Okay.
But no, we're very successful with that. And you got to be a little careful. It's a little hot when you take it out of the microwave.
I use my of gloves.
There you go. Pour some butter on that, some salt. Boy, it's great.
Ooh.
You like popcorn?
Oh, I love it. Who doesn't?
I'm going to get you one of these.
I'll be looking at that on Amazon.
They work fantastic.
Okay.
There's all these devices that you can use to pop corn, and none of them really work.
I have a hot air popper.
Yeah, that's my alternative.
Yes.
But this, I love. Don't look on Amazon. I'm going to get you one.
Oh, thank you, Joe.
And I thought when I go in the office that you'll be eating popcorn every
day. Oh, boy. No. Well,
I don't really. Well, we here at the station have a full-size Creator's popcorn maker.
I saw that out there in the
office there.
Yeah.
And you use Popweaver popcorn packs for that. Nothing
Whoa.
Else.
It's good stuff.
That's a serious popcorn popper.
At Hazleton, I don't know, they wanted to get rid of the popcorn machine or something. I don't know. Okay. It says, you want it? Absolutely. It's a little on the red cart.
What?
Yeah. So I had it at the house for a couple of years when the kids were little.
Yes.
You know, we'd pop some popcorn and watch movies.
Oh, nice.
And it's long gone. Somebody else is enjoying it.
Very nice. Very nice.
But very cool to have.
You know, I was over at Tom Hamilton's office on Thursday, and Tom Hamilton's got some old radios in his office, very large radios.
Inspired, by the way, by us when he comes down here. We used to come down and do his show.
Yeah. And I said, you know, Tom, I got to introduce you to Joe Santani because I think your office might benefit from a jukebox. And he was like, ooh, a jukebox.
Thank you very much.
Maybe I should seek Mr. Santani out.
We have a few. We have a few getting ready to go.
We're overstocked and moving them out.
There you go.
Having a jukebox blowout this weekend.
Oh, yes. They all got to go, please. On the advice of my wife, she'll make you a deal. I don't have them home, so she can't yell too much.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
I just have two favorites at home. But anyway, so getting back to 1959, okay?
Yes.
Let's tell people what their window is when they want to sign up for Medicare.
That's an excellent idea.
Or Social Security, for that matter.
That's true.
And guys, you don't necessarily have to draw from your Social Security to take advantage of a Medicare, if that can work for you. We mentioned this last week. A lot of people, I'm still going to work, and I do have health insurance through work. And I said, okay, very simple. Let's sit down. What do you pay at work versus this would be the cost with Medicare? And I'm going to say probably 90% of the time it's in the favor of Medicare. And so they thought, well, I don't want to draw from my Social Security. You don't need to.
Right. Okay?
You could put that part off, but you can sign up for Part A and B.
Exactly.
And that being said, what are the windows of opportunity for people when they want to sign up?
Well, the window of opportunity really is 3 months before the month of your birth, because Medicare will start the first of your birth month, unless you are born on the first of the month. If you're born on the first of the month, it will start the preceding month. So you can start your Medicare the first of your birth month or the preceding month, so 3 months prior to, or 3 months after. I always recommend not to mess around with 3 months after. It's always much better to go with the birth month.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so if you find out, and it's easier to do this in advance to your 3 months, let's just say you want to pop in the fourth month prior to your birthday or the 6 month prior to your birthday to find out if it's cheaper to be on Medicare and choose a Medicare plan to do that instead of your health care through your employer. Maybe the benefits are better and maybe it's to your advantage to do that versus being...
The majority, it seems to be in their advantage to go. Do you find the same?
Yes,
to go with
I do.
Medicare rather than stay where they are?
I do, unless they really are excited about being in a high deductible HSA plan. And depending upon their health, some people don't find that to be their advantage at this point.
And they can still keep accumulating in their HSA.
Right. But, I have people who have... Because HSAs have been around so long now, they have already accumulated quite a bit in their HSA, and they want to turn it off. And they're very happy to back away from that unless they have a spouse on it.
And that's the other thing, too, to consider a lot of times, okay?
Yes.
My insurance covers my spouse. Okay, we can break that down too.
Yes.
If it's still a considerable savings for you to be on Medicare, we can always find the spouse.
Exactly.
On the health exchange.
Exactly.
So.
Yeah. So there are options there, and then we can cost it out. Whether it's a, you know, it's going to be less expensive or it's going to be more expensive, we'll be able to tell you what your better option is and what your better play is, whether you need what your game plan is, really. We'll give you a plan of action and then let you know what you need to do, steps moving forward, and how you need to proceed and when you need to proceed. So you'll be all set, and how you'll need to do what you need to do and when you need to do it. Like, call us 3 months prior to you leaving your company.
Don't attempt this at home, folks.
No, no. And I sound like I'm very obscure of what I'm talking to you about. But what you need to know really is, if you decide to stay with your company and your company is employing more than 20 people, you don't need to sign up for anything with Medicare. Don't believe people that say you need to do something. The rule is, if you work for a company that employs more than 20 people, you don't need to do a darn thing. So,
Easy enough.
That's it. That's the rule. If you work for a company that employs less than 20 people, then yes, you have to sign up for Medicare. Less than 20 people, you must sign up for Medicare. Clear as a bell. More than 20 people, don't do a darn thing.
Now, a lot of people feel that it's mandatory to sign up for Part A when they turn 65.
You don't need to.
And it's not.
So. Right. It is the 20 people.
Because a lot of people, you know, they hear the horror stories, which are actually true.
It is.
Oh, my mother, you know, waited and didn't get the coverage. And
yes.
Then they had to pay a terrible fee monthly,
right.
You know. And so we could help clarify that for you. Okay.
Yes.
The most important thing, guys, is just make sure that you have drug coverage.
Right.
Yeah, you know, and that'll pretty much get you out of the doghouse.
Exactly. And that has actually been mitigated with the style of plans that are now designed, because rarely are there any plans within a company that are offered that are not comparable to Medicare.
Well said. And, you know, I have a little bit of an issue. I'm going to run this by you, see what you think. I have a client. His birthday's in May.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. He signed up for Part A last year.
Yes.
Okay. Just signed him up for Part B. When he got the card back, and I didn't think much of it, but his Part A is from May of 2023.
Mm-hmm.
But his Part B is February 1st, 2024. And he didn't apply until end of March. So he called me up. He got a bill for 2 quarters of paying for his Medicare Part B. And I said, you better call them right away. I don't know if that could be reversed. Was that a glitch?
When did he actually request it?
I'm going to say, I could look it up on the scope of point, about the mid-March.
Okay. Then it all depends on when they received his request.
It definitely was not the month of February.
Okay, they must have backdated it for some reason.
And it doesn't coincide with the Part A date.
No, it wouldn't.
So do you think he might have a case if he calls them up and says, hey.
They're not gonna do anything.
Okay, so unfortunately.
When did he want it dated?
May 1st.
Okay.
And that's when we got him on a plan. And
okay. In order to get that May 1st start on his Part B, you would have had to have submitted his Part B request in the first part of April. Okay? It's a nail biter. Okay?
It is. I'll double check those dates.
Yeah.
But I guess my concern was if he calls them up and says, hey, I don't know how we ended up with a February 1st start date.
Right.
Especially that we didn't even apply to him. I could see if the month he applied, it possibly that happened.
Exactly.
So then I had another thought, because my writing's atrocious. Could it be they mistook the 5 for a 2?
No. No.
So you know, I hope he gets this cleared up. Because like I said, now he's being billed. It's over $500, you know, yes. for the quarter. And he owes for two quarters.
They're right. I don't.
But interesting, he got his first bill now, as of May 1st, for the February coverage and then the May coverage.
They bill in the rears.
So it's funny that he would get billed for both.
It would be for February, March, and April. So he did February, March, and April, so 3 months.
And now he's being billed for May, June, July.
Is he really?
Yeah. I told him to give them a call, yeah. and we'll follow this up. And,
did you see the bill?
No, I did not. We talked over the phone. So
yeah, I'd like to see you check out the bill.
So, and folks, I won't keep you hanging. We'll let you know how that resolves.
I know. And it's those bills are rough to read.
They are. You know, it's just odd how they gave him a February start when he applied after that. So that being said, let's take a break. But how about that phone number first?
It is 585-485-0328. 585-485-0328.
And you are attending Medicare U, courtesy of T65 and Beyond. The fine sponsors of this program, your hosts of the most, are Andre Zawiski and Joe, what's the last name? Centani. He used to work here, so I'm just pulling his leg here a little bit. And we play a little game called Stump the Joe, because being the hot rockin' DJ of the 1970s that he was, Joe knows all. Let's see if he can identify this one.
Well, the beginning threw me off because I thought it was another song. I know this one.
Of course you do.
Something higher and higher.
Nope.
Thunder and Lightning. Yes.
Bye.
I think I'm wrong here. Donna Summer?
Nope. Before Donna
Patti LaBelle?
Nope. White Girl. Shy Coltrane.
Oh, right. Shy Coltrane.
Used to listen to it.
This is a cool song.
Oh, it is. She's great.
Did she perform on Soul Train, the TV show?
As in Coltrane, Soul Train? I don't think so. I think she may not have enough melanin, you know what I'm saying?
Ah, there you go. A good choice. Thunder and Lightning.
Yep. Yeah, you heard this one on BBF and Waxy back in the day. More to come here on Medicare U on the WYSL stations.
Introducing a sobering and unavoidable truth. The latest advancements in artificial intelligence have made cyber attacks easier than ever before. Cyber criminals are relentlessly targeting your business right now, seeking the tiniest opening in your defenses to drain your accounts and steal sensitive data. Your finances and your customers' trust are on the line. Call the experts at Simple Tech Innovations now at 585-999-TECH to secure your business today. Don't wait until it's too late. Make the call today. 585-999-TECH.
Inside the Taylor Laboratories.
Hey, Tony, what you doing?
A little experiment, Zach. Look what I have under the microscope.
Ugh, what's that?
A sample of indoor air.
How can it be that dirty? Don't AC and furnace filters help?
Only with dust, Zach. But when Taylor installs a whole house APCO air purifier to detox the air, odors, chemicals, mold, bacteria, and viruses are removed.
For clean indoor air.
Yep, ain't science awesome?
Taylor, 500 help.
Are you looking to update the kitchen, bath, or flooring in your home? Whether it's cabinetry, carpeting, hardwood flooring, tile, or kitchen and bathroom remodeling, Claridge Design Center in Chi Lai Paul Plaza is the place to start. At Claridge, the visions and ideas you have for your home are developed with the experienced Claridge designers to make your dream project a reality. And the quality of service you receive at Claridge is second to none. For more information or to schedule an appointment, call Claridge at 889-5800 or visit their website, Claridge.com. MyCarriageDesignCenter.com.
The Livingston County Department of Health needs volunteers for the Medical Reserve Corps. If you're an active or retired licensed healthcare professional or just a community member who wants to help, we need you. Put your skill and energy to work improving emergency response. Free education and training provided. Work with peers in critical settings. Make a difference in your community. Google the Livingston County Department of Health and email us, including MRC in the subject line, or call 243-7524.
Medicare U on the WYSL stations.
All righty, it's time to stump the Joe again. Let's roll this one out.
In a moment, baby.
In a moment, the Intruders.
Close. You got it. One syllable right. It's the Intrigues.
Hey, I love it. Good song. You dug this up.
Yeah, this is one of the Mrs. Savage's favorites. This is on the jukebox, by the way.
Very, very cool. In a moment. The Intrigues?
Intrigues.
All right, what did I say they were?
Intruders. Intruders are cowboys to girls and together.
There you go.
And
I thought I was going to score this great thing like Clefts of Lavender Hill again with that. Away.
That was a high water mark, I got to tell you. You can call me totally amazed last week when you instantly got that.
I'll have you know that I played that for my wife, and she said, it's a Clefts of Lavender Hill.
Get out of here.
No. It's common knowledge, Joe.
He's just nutty, folks.
Oh, there we go. So, you know, we had some material that we were covering last week. Yes. And without further ado.
That's right.
I'll give the floor to you.
Yeah, we were going to talk a little bit about the facility fees. They're cropping up more and more. And what we're talking about are the fact that facility fees being the fact of when a hospital system, and we have two big hospital systems in the Rochester area, one being Rochester Regional and the other being Strong Memorial Hospital, when they decide to purchase a practice of a doctor, that being a dermatologist or a orthopedic, let's say it's an orthopedic practice that they choose, or a cardiologist, okay? They pick up a cardiologist office. What happens is they are allowed, under rules and regulations, to bill out as an outpatient facility fee if a service is performed at a office level. Okay, even though it is a office, because it's under the hospital, technically it's billed under an outpatient facility fee under the hospital. So it is now a hospital facility fee. Yes.
So my doctor is on East Avenue, for example.
Yes.
Okay, little tiny building.
Yes.
And now his practice gets bought out.
Yes.
If I go there, I could get billed. This is always in the hospital.
Yes, depending upon what service you are receiving there. Now, let's just say it's not a regular office visit. You go there and you have a procedure done. A procedure being that you need to have perhaps a injection because you have pain in your shoulder and you need to have a cortisone shot injected into your shoulder to relieve the pain. Now, because that is considered a service, and it's, although it's still done within the office, that would be performed within the office, but it's a service, it would be performed under, could be billed under a outpatient facility fee. So you are charged a facility fee of $300 and a practitioner fee of $35. Okay, so it's two different fees. Yeah.
And so coincidentally with your insurance,
yes.
You're going to have a hefty copay.
Right. It's not – you'll pay $35 at the window. You won't have knowledge – well, you will have knowledge under New York State, okay? But you won't have knowledge – okay, there's probably a sign that you will disregard as you go in because there'll be a sign on the door and there'll probably be a sign at the window that says, please be aware that if you receive certain services that there will be a facility fee charge that you probably won't read or you'll disregard because for some reason you won't have any sense to read it or it doesn't make sense to you when you do read it, which would be in my case. I'll look at it and I'll go, what? That doesn't make sense. I don't know what's going to happen today in the office. And mm-hmm. by the time I get back to the exam room, I don't know what the doctor's going to do. And I'm not going to make the connection of what is going on in the exam room to what the sign said until I get out of there and I get the bill, and then I'm going to call my insurance broker and go, how come I got billed this? Because later on I'm going to get a bill from Strong that says I now owe $300 for the facility and 20% of the cortisone shot that went into my shoulder.
And they're allowed to do this.
They are fully allowed to do this. Now, in New York State, the law is that went into effect, okay, last year on June 21st. There was a law that went into effect that defines the facility fee, all right? The law states that there will be a notification that goes out 7 days prior to your, if you're going in for a surgical procedure. Anything that has to do with a surgical procedure, not with a office visit. So with an office visit, there's going to be these signs that are going to be hung everywhere. Okay, there's going to be an awareness. Please be notified that this is going to be something that you're going to be seeing. It'll be hung on the door. There'll be a notification in the exam room. There'll be a notification in the bathrooms. They'll be everywhere that there will be at some point in time, if you receive certain services, you'll be charged a facility fee. But if you are going to have cataract surgery, if you're going to have carpal tunnel, if you're going to have an injection, if you're going to have an X-ray done at an office, you're going to have a planned some service done at an office, and you're going to get this in the mail. Eileen got one, and she was very concerned about this. She talked to me about it, and I did some research on her plan, and I said, you're just going to be charged $300. And she said, well, it says if I'm on a network, I'm going to get charged more. I said, you're not on a network. Well, how do I know that? I said, because you're on an Excellus plan, you're in network.
Mm-hmm.
She said, well, I don't know that there are. She said, I called the facility and she said, well, you may be on a network. We don't know. And I said, I'm telling you, you're in network.
That could be just a standard response to people. Well, if you're in network or not in network.
But. Yes. So they're scaring a lot of people with this stuff.
And you really can't argue the point and say, look, it's a doctor's office. I wasn't in the hospital.
That's right.
Because
you
it's
can't.
Considered hospital property because they own the practice.
Yes.
So that's.
You don't have a leg to stand on.
Is that by design that they're buying up these practices?
Well, yes.
Because it's interesting, you're orthopedic. I had a doctor, great doctor, did my knee surgeries.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a private practice. And then when I went in for the second one, he was in the process of Unity
mm-hmm.
buying the practice. And he told me, and you can probably relate to how this works with these guys. He said, there was a time my wife did the billing.
Yes.
He goes, now I have three people to do the billing.
Yes.
It's ridiculous, all these things that we need to do.
Right.
And he said, you know what? I said, the heck with it. So I sold the practice to Unity. Now I work for them.
He does.
And for about 6 months.
Yes.
I went to see him. He goes, I'm leaving. I've had it. And it's a shame. Great doctor. And he retired before his time, I think.
Yes.
But just who needs this nonsense?
Well, exactly. Because the federal government, I don't recall what year they required doctors to roll to electronic record keeping, that they had to modify and upgrade their computer systems to integrate to all electronic, and there was a incentive to do that so that they could, there was X amount of money they could be reimbursed to do that. And if they didn't, they were fined. If they wanted to keep their old records, they could do that. So a lot of private individual doctors that didn't go with the Strong or Rochester regional large groups still maintain their old paper documents and had two systems
that they need to work with.
Yeah, it was a mess. It was an absolute mess. Then they have a billing system or billing people that didn't bill adequately, and they had to track down the bills that were never billed correctly or denied by insurance companies. They never recoup the losses that were denied, or the wrong codes were put in. So it's actually a mess. So there's not an incentive for a doctor to be a sole practitioner anymore. It's better off if you are with a larger group and you're purchased or work under a hospital, because the hospital has the power and the people to be able to handle all of that for you, so that you are not, and you're shielded from any of the bureaucracy and chasing down the billing and the minutiae, and actually having somebody that's going to fight and get the billing straight for you, where you're actually in and doing what you should be doing. But the downside on that, you have to toe the line, and you are told how many people you need to see on an hourly basis. That's the downside.
Yeah, because now you're working for them.
Exactly.
I could understand. If you've been a doctor with your own practice for 35 years and now they're telling you, I guess if you are, in good enough shape to retire,
yes,
you might as well. But and we lost a lot of good people.
We did.
And this seems, every year I hear this, and you probably more so than I. How many people come in and they don't have their primary care physician anymore? They're not sure.
It's true.
I got a new doctor now. He's retiring, or he left.
Yes.
And I don't think that was the case 20 years ago.
No,
not
at all.
You had your doctor and, my God, my primary care physician, I've been with Rick since 1985.
Right.
And still with him.
Exactly.
I don't know if he might be part of the hospital now, I'm sure,
because
he's got a lot of connections there Rochester General. But anyway, so it's disincentivizing. Now, let me ask you this. Is this a way when these kids are graduating and they go to work for the hospital in a practice, they're limited to what they can charge? So in other words, you might have a doctor that has the potential to make a couple $100,000 a year. Now, as he's part of corporate, is he a $60,000 a year guy?
Well, in primary care, you have a set amount that you're going to be making. So not a lot of people choose primary care or internal medicine that they want to be in. You're going to make more money being in a specialty. Okay, so that's where the money is, and that's why we have so many specialists. When you specialize, you make more money. That's where the money is.
Okay.
Money is not in primary care or internal medicine. That's never been where the money is. If your heart's in internal medicine, that's your heart's internal medicine.
And when you say that, I think of like the small town doctor.
Yes.
You know, which is becoming a thing of the past.
It is, very much so. And, you know, in previous, you know, I want to say it was like 20 to 30 years ago, we had an influx of doctors who studied in, you know, Europe, and they were East Indian doctors that had gotten their degrees in India and finished their practical experience in the United States, and they became integrated in the U.S., and they became our doctors in small towns. And we were accepting of them, and that became our country doctors.
And that's sort of changing.
Yeah. So. Yeah.
I'm curious. In countries where there's socialized medicine, it must be the same thing. There's no private practice.
No. It's run by the federal government, and the doctors show up. They show up at 8 o'clock, and they leave at 5 o'clock. They don't stay longer than they need to.
Imagine a time when you can call the doctor at 7:30 and saying, and I got pain in my side or whatever, and well, okay, are you done eating dinner? I'll be over at your house.
Yes.
In about 20 minutes.
Yeah. It's a bygone era.
Yeah. My husband's dad was Doc McGlock, you know. He was a primary care physician, and he remembers answering the phone at home for his dad, and his dad, he remembers seeing his dad fall asleep at the kitchen table. He used to make home visits. He remembers that very well.
I'm thinking of the old Donna Reed sitcom with Dr. Alex Stone. And he was always out.
Had his little kit.
And, a little leather bag. And
you guys ever see Doc Martin,
the
series?
Love it. Absolutely love it.
Country, they call it GP, which we always called around here, too, a general practitioner.
Right.
But in this Cornwall seaside town. And he's not only the doctor, he's like the first responder. He's always going out, to rescue people from, they're stuck in farm equipment or they're out of their mind and they climb the church steeple. And
yes.
He's climbing ladders.
Does he serve as the doctor and the first responder and the coroner?
Yes, exactly.
Yes, he's not
the coroner,
oh, okay.
but he is. He's like EMT and helping with childbirth on the beach. And
look at
he's
that!
Amazing.
And plus, he's a really cranky guy. It's really rude and really short.
He is. He's crusty. Yeah.
Well, you would be too if you had to do what he did.
Yes.
But he loves it though.
Yeah, he does.
I highly recommend it. It's a great entertainment. The first two or three episodes, you know, I watched and I was like, I guess it's okay. But you have to stick with it and it really hits its stride, I would say, what, Andrea, like in the second season?
Yes, it does. Now, you have to really see the first two episodes to really understand why he's in this small town, because he is a highly successful surgeon that something happens that he becomes deathly afraid of blood, and he second guesses himself, and he no longer can operate. So he's afraid of blood, can't operate, so he turns to being a GP in the country.
Where he spent his summers when he was a kid.
Yeah.
Because his parents didn't like him. But anyway, I don't want to tell you too much. Doc Martin, the thing was on British TV for like 20 years.
Yes.
It was amazing. There's 10 actual seasons.
Yeah.
There's a ton of episodes.
Yeah.
I have to check it out. I finally got done watching Suits.
Oh, all that's nine a good seasons. One.
It's concluded last night. So.
The Donna. Lover.
All right. Shall we break a little bit here?
Yes.
We're running out of time.
Do that phone number one more time.
Oh, it is 585-485. Oh, 585-485-0328.
Eight. Very good.
All right, let's see if Joe can nail this one.
Saturday morning.
Yes.
And this is Sandpipers.
You got it.
Cool song.
Late 69.
I'm going away with my friend.
I loved Saturday mornings back in 1969.
Yeah, Saturday mornings in 69 started around 11 a.m. for me.
Yes, yes.
Just all right, back with more here on Medicare U in just a couple of minutes.
We'll
it's the WYSL Station's podcast, WYSL1040.com.
And then we'll move on. But we will remember long after Saturday's gone.
Debunking advertising from the law office of Christopher Johnson. One ad some injury attorneys inundate you with, what's your case worth? Call us and find out. You know, nobody can tell you, quote, what your case is worth over the phone. Nobody knows. The ultimate answer to, quote, what your case is worth involves weeks or months of research, evaluation, and preparation. Many factors go into any compensation you might get, like applicable law, who's actually at fault, how much insurance coverage there is, and many, many other factors. At the Law Office of Christopher Johnson, the singular focus is getting your life back on track after an accident or injury. That takes money, and it helps when the advice and legal advice you get has a one-on-one focus informed by straight talk. Christopher Johnson Attorney, car, truck, motorcycle accidents, personal injury, and DWI defense. Call 585-415-3803. 585-415-3803.
Hi, I'm Steve Tasker. Over the years, my wife Sarah and I have supported Heritage Christian Services and the work that they do to advance an inclusive and equitable community. Heritage Christian Services and their staff support people with intellectual and developmental disabilities by offering meaningful and diverse experiences. Like us, they believe that people are entitled to dignity, respect, equity, and justice, and that belief is reflected in all that they do. While disability services are what they were founded on, their work extends to offer life-enriching opportunities for people throughout the community through therapeutic writing, health and wellness services, and child care, and more. Now more than ever, Heritage Christian Services needs your support to continue their work. Consider becoming a friend to Heritage Christian like Sarah and I did almost 20 years ago. You can choose to volunteer, share their job opportunities, or make a donation. To learn more, visit heritagechristianservices.org. That's heritagechristianservices.org.
The Livingston County Department of Health reminds you and your family, be sure you're prepared for emergencies by creating your own at-home emergency response plan. Prepare a kit including non-perishable food, water, flashlight, radio, batteries, blankets, and medications to supply you and your family for at least 2 weeks. Place these supplies in a secure place in your home. For more information on emergency preparedness, call the Livingston County Department of Health at 243-7299.
Medicare U on the WYSL stations.
All right, let's see if I can throw a curve at Joe. Title and artists on this song, Joe.
I walked in town on spurs the jingle tune.
Summer Wine.
By
Lee Hazelwood, Nancy Sinatra, and Reprise Records, 1967.
No.
She saw my silver.
It's a trip. Lee Hazelwood by himself.
Lee Hazelwood with his girlfriend, Susie Jane Hockum, in 1966.
Summer Wine.
Why, Ed Rascal, he took the same backing and put Nancy Sinatra's voice.
Yeah. Wine. Check it out.
Great song.
Yeah.
The tempo sounds maybe just a touch faster.
Strawberries, cherries, and an angel's kiss in spring.
Write this down. I'm going to fool my wife with this.
Yep.
There you go. I knew that was too easy.
Yeah. Susie Jane Hockum was one of the first ever female pop producers and had a lot of hits. She was also the girlfriend of Lee Hazelwood. And they had some success with that version of it. And then I would say somewhat improved version came out in 67 mm-hmm. with Nancy Sinatra, which sounded like this.
Strawberries, cherries, and an angel's kiss in spring.
With respect to Susie Jane,
my summer wine is really made.
I think they put a little bit more into this production as well.
Oh yeah, it's much more produced, more strings, got that great horn section in the middle.
I'm sure this was the wrecking crew behind this one.
I would imagine.
If you hear this song in its entirety, when we get done with the show, you're going to go have a glass of summer wine.
Yeah, at the very least. Maybe two.
With strawberries, cherries.
And and an angel's kiss in spring.
That's what does it.
I'll toss it to you guys to wrap up the show.
All right. Well, Andrea, I'll take it back to you. And
all right.
Very interesting on the facilities fee.
Yes, it is.
And, you know, be aware, guys.
I know.
You said, but you're right. You walk into the doctor's office and there's posters and signs all over the place.
I don't read those things. Do you, Joe?
No, and some of them are dated.
I know.
We abide by COVID restrictions.
Oh, I know.
Tear that down.
I know. Exactly. I don't read everything. And by the time I get into the exam room, I've got a clipboard that I got to still fill out. You know, I'm filling out things. I don't read everything.
And then you get the my chart or the other one, they're my care.
Before
you go to the doctor, you have to fill it all out again.
Exactly.
And, come on.
Everybody's nagging me for something.
It never ends.
Don't you think that? I always feel like I'm getting nagged at the doctor's office.
You are. And you're... you're getting charged.
Yes, I know. I'm getting charged to get nagged.
Oh.
And I'm being held hostage to get my prescriptions filled. That's how I feel. Well, anyways.
And there you go. Hey, you know what? With this great weather, I'm thinking people might be making plans for their vacation.
I hope so.
And I always like to toss this bit out. If you are traveling, you're going to Ohio, Indianapolis,
yes.
Nevada, give a call on the back of your insurance card and find out who is in network hospital-wise.
That's very important.
We don't like to think about that when we go away, but hey, you know, you get sick, you're stricken with something.
Right.
You just don't know. So with that, they could say, okay, yes, Hospital A in Henderson, Nevada is where you want to go.
Exactly.
They're in network with us. And very often Hospital B might be right down the street, so they're close. But at least you have the wherewithal to say, you know what, take me to this hospital.
That's right.
That's my insurance.
That's right, because all of your urgent cares will always be in network. You never, ever have to worry about that. You don't need to pay attention to finding an in-network urgent care while you are out of your area, okay? They will always be in network. However, not every hospital will be in network. So always find out which of those hospitals will be in network with the zip code that you will be staying in. Now, if you're traveling, you'll be in multiple zip codes, but most people will be just gone maybe a week or two. So you're going to be in one zip code or two zip codes. Find out where that in-network hospital is. So when the PA or the nurse practitioner at the urgent care says, I've never seen anything quite like this before. I think you should go to the hospital. You should always go to the in-network hospital so you can pay the in-network hospital rate versus the out-of-network hospital rate, which might be $300 more than the in-network rate. So while you won't be refused, you'll pay $300 less, which... maybe you can save $300 less and have a fine dinner out, right?
And there you go. Spend it that way.
That's right.
You know, you made me laugh when you said, I've never seen anything like this before. It was a cartoon in the guys in the emergency room. The nurse goes, well, you either got the most exotic rash I've ever seen or you've been sitting on your TV remote. But
those are words you don't want to hear anytime.
No.
Whether it's from a plumber or whether it's from a doctor.
Exactly. You don't want to win the lottery for the most exotic thing they can find.
True.
And you know what? Another reminder, too, for people that are traveling abroad.
Yes.
Very common question. Will my insurance cover me in Europe?
No.
Okay.
No. You're going to have to pay first and then submit for reimbursement when you get back. A lot of times it's much easier if you have travel insurance. So take that necessary step and invest in travel insurance. And we all have that link on our emails that you can click on the link and investigate travel insurance. It is not expensive. It's a nice little add-on feature, and you can adjust the price of what you need to coincide with what kind of coverage you would like to have by adjusting how much you're spending on your cost of your trip. Just a little bit will get you a nice amount. Okay.
And you've got that cushion because,
yes,
first off, it's not cheap to travel abroad. So
no,
really, for the a couple extra bucks,
exactly,
you know, guarantee yourself that you'll, you know, have protection if you need it.
It's true. Now, I'm always a person that is always looking up. I never look down where I'm walking, so I'm always tripping on things. I'm catching my toe on things.
Well, you better get travel insurance.
I should. I should have it every day.
So, but just a couple of tips to pass along. We're getting into vacation season.
Exactly.
And guys, as we told you earlier, you're looking out the window and you think you're going to retire next Tuesday. It's not quite as easy or as fast as you think.
That's right.
So,
3 months. Give yourself 3 months prior to your exit strategy. Come see us or give us a call. 585-485-0328. 585-485-0328.
And on that, I'm going to let Bob share. What's the cost, Bob?
Yeah.
Let me see here. Checking my reliable sources, they say nothing. It's free.
Yes, it is.
Absolutely. So bear that in mind. You know, there's no risk, so to speak. No cost. And we'd be happy to advise you. And not many times, people are perfectly fine where they are.
Yes.
And with what they're doing. And we're very happy to tell you that. And, you know, come see us.
Absolutely.
As we wrap up the show, one final song for Joe to identify. Who does this sound like?
I smile a little in the silence, deciding on where to go.
Sound like Donovan?
Donovan, but it's not Donovan.
No, it's written for Donovan. Mickey Most had this, I don't know who wrote the thing, but he gave it to Herman's Hermits. And
a museum.
Museum, yep, you got it. Look at that. He nails it. It's a great song. Herman, you know, Peter Noon loved it. And he thought it was going to be a number one. This is right after There's a Kind of Hush. And it didn't do much.
It was pretty good. The reason I know of this is I had an album. This was the last track on one of the sides.
That's a good one. Hey, that's Medicare U for this week. Thanks so much for joining us. We'll be back again with another exciting episode. In the meantime, turn your friends on to the program and get the podcast at WISL1040.com. See ya.